Good morning and welcome to the Holy Ghost Lutheran Church radio broadcast. Today is February the 14th and happy Valentine's Day. Goodness gracious, we need the warmth of God's love today, do we not? As the chilly, willy weather has really got us trapped. And so, goodness gracious, thanks be to God for our Savior. There are no in-person services today at Holy Ghost, nor at a number of our churches in our community as well. We encourage people to stay home, listen on the radio, YouTube, or Facebook. Today we will have Holy Communion, so do invite you to have your bread, wine, grape juice, cracker available as we begin our services today. Our sermon series is the final weekend of the Trees of the Bible series, and today we'll be focusing upon two trees that tell the whole story. So we'll just leave you in suspense as to what those two trees will be. We want to call ourselves to worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Amen. Today for our confession, it'll be a portion of Psalm 51. Please bow and pray with me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. May the Lord God Almighty, who gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, grant you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now for our prayer of the day. Lord Jesus Christ, as you entered this world to fulfill the purpose of salvation for sinners, give us faith to believe that the rebellion of our sin at one tree is covered by the righteousness of your obedience on another, thus bringing us the joy and the relief of new and eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our Bible story today is from Genesis as well as Matthew. Genesis chapter 3 writes it this way. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Here ends the first reading, which tells us about the first tree. The second is from Matthew 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his own clothes on him, and then they led him away to crucify him. Here ends the second reading about the second tree. Well, grace and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, over the last weeks, we've talked about trees in the Bible, have we not? We've looked at oaks, cedars, palms, acacia trees, olive, sycamore. We've talked about gopher wood. And we could go on in the weeks ahead to lean into things like fig trees, pomegranates, cypress, myrtle, juniper, wormwood, and even mustard seed trees. Instead, today we conclude our New Year sermon series with what we might consider two trees that we don't ever want to forget, two trees that really tell the story. The first is mentioned early in our Bible history, Genesis chapter 2 and 3. It's referred to, as we heard, as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We don't know exactly what kind of tree it was, though we do know that it was a fruit tree. For God had instructed that first couple to not eat of this special tree that was planted by God in the middle of the garden. Folklore tells us that Eve ate an apple, and then she shared it with Adam. But there's no biblical evidence that the forbidden fruit was an apple. Doesn't say specifically. There's other ancient depictions that have sketches that it was a palm tree. Again, this is just conjecture, and it's not in the Bible. All to say, we do not know what kind of tree it was, and it doesn't really matter what kind of fruit tree it was. But we do know this. It was prohibited by God for them to even touch it, much less eat of it. And as a result of their disobedience, we hear that they would die. We might actually call this tree the tree of great consequences, or the tree of the law. As a kid, I recall there being consequences promised by my parents if I didn't obey them. One such tiny minor example from early childhood had to do with our eating habits. Mom would say something like this: if you eat everything on your plate at lunch, and typically that was known as, many of you know this too, cleaning your plate. If you clean your plate, you can enjoy a snack in the afternoon. And usually that snack was a homemade cookie. My favorite, of course, was peanut butter cookies with the fork mark in the middle. And then we also got a glass of Kool-Aid. But you know, if you didn't clean your plate, you didn't get the cookie or the Kool-Aid. Instead, what was offered to you many times? The leftovers from lunch, if you did not clean your plate, that Mom conveniently stuck in the refrigerator in case you got hungry during the afternoon. And if you didn't want that, well, the best you could hope for a 3 p.m. quote-unquote snack was a glass of water. You know, it only took once for Mom to be firm about her word, Mom to lay down the law, that we kids then learned that there was a consequence for not doing what we were told. And for a four-year-old kid back then, that was a tough consequence. Adam and Eve, with the stakes being much higher than missing out on a mid-afternoon sugar high, find themselves condemned. Condemned not by God, but by their own straying beyond God's word, beyond God's law. They were encouraged, of course, by Satan's craft, but it was their free will that they could not keep their paws off of the fruit that was on God's no-no list. Thus, their wayward behavior brought an immediate eviction from the garden, not only bringing an eventual physical death that would lie in every human's future, but an eternal death in hell as punishment for human disobedience. And hey, just to be clear, the consequences of death and hell are not to be laid just at Adam and Eve's feet and blame them. For who of us can keep from sinning 100% of the time? Every day, in so many ways, we snack on forbidden fruit. Let the Ten Commandments be a mirror for us. God forbids us to put anything before Him, and yet we place self, success, pride, physical things, all those ahead of Him. God also outlaws the misuse of His name, and yet we have to sometimes accentuate certain statements by using GD language. He also says, no lusting, sleeping with others outside marriage, internet sex, or homosexuality. And again, we make up our own relational boundaries. God bans such things as white lies, deception, slanderous and gossip-filled conversations, coveting. And yet, with our free will, we choose to color outside the lines. So who of us can keep from being rebellious to God's word? And while we have inherited this sinful tendency going all the way back to the original duo, none of us is able to live the perfect life that God requires of us in order to live forever here on earth or eternally in heaven above. It's as the Bible says in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans further says, the wages of sin is death. Yes, this first tree is a tree that we always need to be consciously aware of from day to day, hour to hour, that we are a people, a flawed people, with a belly button gazing spirit which seeks to serve self and cater to our fleshy cravings, thus making us accountable. Accountable to God, accountable for not keeping God's word and God's law. And then that brings harsh consequences for our sin. And we'll sharply be reminded of those consequences this next Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, as we remember that we are dust. And because of our waywardness, we shall all return to the dirt from which we were formed. You see, the first tree, the tree of the law, or the tree of consequences, marks us as being destined for death, and therefore we need another tree. So thanks be to God that He provides the greatest of all trees. We'll call this tree, the next one, the second one, the tree of the gospel, the tree of love, the tree that gives. This tree is spoken of in our second Bible reading from Matthew. It's the crucifixion story. It's recorded not just in Matthew, but also Mark, Luke, and John. It's the tree that Jesus was nailed to. I love how 1 Peter 2 so clearly puts it. It says this: Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. Now, some translations use the word cross instead of tree, but the Greek Bible word here is not the word for cross, it's the word for tree. So it reads, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. How ironic is that? Christ taking our place, suffering, bleeding, and dying on a tree. Yes, the very thing that put us in a position of sin and death by our human waywardness is the very thing that situates us for hope and healing, another tree. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ." It is in the perfect life lived by Jesus, culminating in His total obedience on the tree of the cross, that overcomes our disobedience brought on by the first tree. Christ climbed a tree that we could not mount. And though it would bring death to Him, the verse says it brings righteousness to us. And righteousness means rightness with God, that we can have new life now through forgiveness of sins and eternal life to come for all who look to His outstretched limbs for our salvation. You see, the Son of God, our Savior, climbed this tree to take on the punishment for all our sins, all of our rebellious activity, our defiant ways, our insubordinate behaviors, for all people of all time, past, present, and future. And it's hard to even imagine just how painful that must have been. And due to many of us hearing the story of Jesus suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross so many times in our lifetime, we sometimes have a tendency to hear the words but not fully grasp the enormity of what He did in our place for us. The closest I can even come to it, which is nowhere even near, is the torture that a prisoner of war received from his captors as they slowly but cruelly put him to death. The description began with his abductors ripping out his fingernails one by one, followed by each of his toenails. The next item on their maniac menu of anguish was to snip each finger and toe off with pruning shears. This was followed by pulling out every one of his 32 teeth. And the story even gets more harsh as the tormentors splash water on him to revive him every time he passes out due to the intense pain. His ears are then lopped off, eyeballs are gouged out with a red-hot iron, and the helpless man is then scalped along his hairline. Hands and feet were broken, then chopped off with an axe. And by this time, the impact upon the human body was so great that the man fell into full shock and then cardiac arrest. My apologies for being so graphic with this story, No apologies. No apologies on behalf of what God has done for us in Jesus scaling the tree. The displeasure placed on this one prisoner of war is nothing compared to what Christ endured for the trillions and trillions of humanity that have ever and will ever walk this planet. And then the quadrillions and the quintillions and the sextillions and the septillions and the octillions of all the sins of all people of all time. We can't begin to capture or measure the pain that was laid upon Christ's innocence so that we the guilty, could walk free and not be hanged from a tree. That's the price that was laid on him. 2 Corinthians 5 tells this: "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, Jesus elevated himself on that second tree of the cross so that we might be free. Yes, his going to the tree so that we might be free. Earlier, we cited the passage from Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the story, the text doesn't end there. It says this. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life, so that we might have this new life through forgiveness every single day we sin and every single time we confess our sinfulness, and then eternal life with God in heaven when we pass from this life, all by Christ giving up his life on the tree. Yes, the first tree, the tree of the law, the tree of consequences, is eternally overcome. It is trumped. It is defeated. It is canceled out, forgotten by God due to the second tree, the tree in which God gives. You know, if Christ were a tree, if Christ were a tree that saves, it would be by his giving and giving and giving. It says, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Reminds me of a wonderful story by Shel Silverstein. It's titled, "The Giving Tree." The shorter version goes something like this. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy very much. Every day the child would come and play in her leaves, gather the leaves, make crowns, and play like he was king of the forest. Other days he'd come and climb her trunk, swing from her branches, eat from her apples. They would play hide and seek together, and when tired, the boy would rest in her shade. The boy loved the tree, and the tree loved the boy. The tree was very happy. But as time went on, the boy grew older, and the tree was often left alone. One day the boy came by again, and the tree was so very happy to see him. She said, "Boy, come and climb my branches, gather my leaves, eat my apples, and rest in my shade. Let's play and be happy." But the boy said, "I'm too big now to do those things. I want to be happy, but I need money. Can you give me money, tree?" The tree said, "I have no money, but I do have apples. So gather some apples, sell them in the city, so that you can be happy." And so the boy gathered apples and carried them away, and the tree was very happy. The boy again was gone for a very long time, and the tree grew sad. Finally, the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy to see him. The tree said, "Come, boy, climb my branches, gather my leaves, eat my apples, and rest in my shade. Let's play and be happy." But the boy said, "I'm too busy to do those things. I want a house to keep me warm and a family. I want to be happy. Can you give me a house, tree?" "I have no house," said the tree, "but you can cut my branches for wood and make a house, and you can be happy." So the boy did, and the tree was happy. A long time passed without the boy returning, and the tree was very sad. Finally, one day he came, and the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy, climb my branches, gather my leaves, eat from my apples, and rest in my shade. Let's play and be happy." But the boy said, "I'm too old to play. I want a boat that'll take me far and wide so I can see the world and be happy. Can you give me a boat, tree?" But the tree said, "I have no boat, but you can cut down my trunk, make a boat, and sail away and be happy." So the boy cut the tree's trunk and made a boat. and the tree was happy. A long, long time went by, and the tree grew very sad. Finally, the boy came, and the tree said, "I have no apples to sell, no branches to make a house, no trunk to make a boat. I wish I could give you something, boy, but I have nothing left. I'm only a stump." The boy said, "I don't need any of those things anymore. I'm old and I'm tired and I need to just sit and rest." The tree stump straightened as tall as she could, and she said, "Come, boy, sit on my stump." So the boy sat and rested, and the tree was very happy. By the first tree, we doom ourselves to the law, the consequences of disobedience of our sin to God's word, God's law. And by that, we are doomed to death and hell. Yet by the second tree, the second one, the tree of the gospel, the tree of love, the tree of giving, we live free from our guilt and our shame today and then eternally due to God's tree, that second tree that gives and gives and gives God's love. Happy Valentine's Day. Amen. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in a time of prayer, and then we'll turn to Holy Communion. So please have that ready. Lord God, it was on the cross, the old rugged cross, that emblem of suffering and shame, that you took on our sin, the sin of our brokenness, the sin of our trespasses on that first tree in the garden. Lord, we thank you eternally for the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which you took on the punishment for our sin, the sin that we deserved. Lord, in your mercy. Precious Savior, it is that old rugged cross, the one that we will seek to ever be true. But we also know in our brokenness, we will always have to come to you and confess our sins. And we thank you for in our contriteness of our hearts that you fully forgive us of our sins. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, too, that beyond this life and forgiveness, you promise us eternal life in faith in Christ Jesus and through his resurrection from the dead. Lord, we uplift this day the family of Slim Coolman at his passing this past week. We pray, too, God, for those hospitalized this last week, Jerry Gross Sr., Eddie James, Larry Revis, and Donna Adams. We pray for those on hospice, Mildred Hinkey, Milton Bowes, Pastor Arnold Schleter, and Ned Moritz. And we uplift those, a few of those, from our homebound and nursing care facilities as we remember E.J. Hobbs, Lauren House, Donnie Klein, Ray Klutz, Eddie James, Ora Knopp, Dorothy Kusenberger, and Luke Koch. Strengthen us, guard us, guide us, O Lord, as we remember those in our church family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we're praying for all those who are in this bitter cold weather. We pray particularly for those who are on the front lines seeking to restore electricity and basic human needs. God, we pray for those that may be without that electricity or heat. And we're mindful, God, of families and our elderly. And Lord, for the homeless who are living on the streets. Lord, some who will freeze. We pray, O God, for the warmth of your strength to touch us, that we might reach out to touch others with basic human needs like food and care, but especially, O Lord, prayer. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And we now soon turn to the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us that forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation through his victory over the cross. So strengthen us, guard us, guide us, and keep us together now as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So with your bread and with your wine, your grape juice and your crackers, it was in the night in which he was betrayed that our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Share with others. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. And share with others. Now may this, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in God's grace, God's faith, now and always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace, his power, his promises and presence, now and always. Amen. So good to be with you here today on the radio. We do again announce that in-person services are canceled at Holy Ghost for today, February the 14th. Also to uplift, we were going to have drive-through communion this afternoon from 1 to 2, but because of the weather condition, that too is canceled. Valentine's dinner is also canceled for this evening. That's a youth fundraiser. That will be postponed, as will the drive-through communion, until February the 28th. As far as the Pancake Shrove Tuesday dinner, right before first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, upcoming this week, that is still pending. The pancake supper is yet pending. Lenten services begin this Wednesday. We'll see how the weather impacts that. We do have services planned for 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m. We'll also have a Lenten Ash Wednesday service online, Facebook, and YouTube. So call the church office. You don't have to be on Facebook or YouTube to tune in to those particular services. Our special offering for the month of February, the Women of Faith are leading us in the health kit drive. So if you would like to contribute to that monetarily, or if you would like to purchase some of those items, you can drop those off at the church office. Our Christian sympathies are extended, as we had in our prayers, to the family of Calvin Slim Kuhlman. Funeral services are Wednesday at Shedder's Funeral Home. We also uplift, as was shared in the prayers, Pastor Emeritus Arnold Schleter is now on hospice. And so please keep him and your family, his family, in your prayers as well. Margot Stahl is yet in need of a kidney transplant, so we pray for her. And if anyone is interested in checking out that process, you don't have to commit to anything, but you can call the San Antonio Methodist Transplant Hospital and get more information. Speaking of hospital, our local hospital is a mass vaccine site for our county for the COVID vaccines. And so the demand is much higher than the supply, so please, please, please be patient with that. If you need some sort of a special help with that, and if you cannot sign up on the internet, you can call the hospital, and they will help guide you through that process. That special number is 990-6100, 990-6100. You can also call the Needs Council, and they'll help you out with that. That's 997-9756. We do have our annual congregational meeting on February the 28th, so we do uplift that to the community. We also have Lenten devotional booklets that Faith Stories are written in. Those will be available at the church office. If you want to call or come by, we will get one of those in your hands. Well, now it's time for our sending. The worship is now ended, and the service begins. We leave to live out God's call, to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples, blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, God is with you always, even till the end of time. God bless you. Stay warm. Stay in the faith. Amen.